Welcome to the Open Sea Podcast. Here at Open Sea, we recognize that the Bible was written in languages full of richness and beauty. Our goal is to explore the beauty of the New Testament, written in Koine Greek, that can sometimes become obscured in English translations. We desire to bridge the gap of scholarship and make these conversations about biblical Greek accessible to all curious people. So whether you have studied Greek for years or you are embarking on this journey today, all are welcome to take a seat at the table. Hey everyone, this is Cade with the Open Seat Podcast. I bet right off the bat you're pretty confused as to why you're hearing my voice first. And that's because this is a brief special episode with just me, because life has gotten so busy for Olivia, Caitlin, and I. I'll share just a little bit about myself and like why I've been so busy. This year alone, I have been sick twice, and I'm starting to catch my third cold of the year, which is pretty abnormal in itself. I've also had a good friend of mine come visit for a weekend. I just got back from a church retreat yesterday, all while I've been, you know, maintaining a full-time job and an internship on the side that I'm trying to do well in, as well as doing this podcast and, seeing friends, keeping up my relationships. So I alone have been incredibly busy, and Olivia and Caitlin have been busy as well with some real fun life updates that we're super excited to share with you on next week's episode. But yeah, as we've been working through this podcast and releasing weekly episodes, as February just picked up in busyness and our backlog of episodes kind of declined and dwindled, and here we are, and we ran out and we're just too busy to throw something together. And we really don't want to throw something together either. This next passage that we're going to talk about in 1 John chapter 4 next week is just so important. If you listen to our episode last week about the four loves, almost 8%, 9%, I think we said, of the times agape appears in the New Testament takes place in this chapter alone. So it is an incredibly important chapter, and we just didn't want to throw something together in order to stick to a schedule, as much as I love our schedule. Yeah, we want to do this well. If it isn't clear by now, hopefully you hear me say this. Like, we love the Word, and we want to honor the Word by releasing not content according to a schedule, but content that is that reflects the truth of God's Word, that we honor it instead of rushing to complete something for a deadline. So that's why you're hearing me this week, and just me. I still wanted to release something this week, because I know that there are people who listen to our podcast every week, and we really value your commitment to us and listening to what we have to say, and your faithful listening week in and week out. And so I didn't want to leave us with nothing this week. And so I wanted to spend a couple more minutes just mainly giving you a few quotations from several Christians throughout church history and what the Greek and Hebrew text has meant to them. And so first, I want to start with a guy named Heinrich Bitzer from the 1900s. He was actually a banker, but he said, "The more a theologian detaches himself from the basic Hebrew and Greek text of Holy Scripture, the more he detaches himself from the source of real theology. And real theology is the foundation of a fruitful and blessed ministry." Next, George Whitefield. He was one of the most influential preachers of the First Great Awakening in America. He, when he was reflecting on his time studying at Oxford, said, "Though weak, I often spent 2 hours in my evening retirements and prayed over my Greek Testament and Bishop Hall's most excellent contemplations every hour that my health would permit." So this is one of the most important pastors in early Christian history in America, and he was steeped in the Greek text. Martin Luther, who many of us are familiar with, or at least we've heard of, one of the leaders of the Reformation, I've got a couple quotes from him. First, he said, "If the languages had not made me positive as to the true meaning of the word, I might have still remained a chained monk engaged in quietly preaching Romish errors in the obscurity of a cloister." Which, that sounds like really old English, but essentially what he's saying is that the reason the Reformation kind of took place, one of the main forces that caused him to speak out against the Catholic Church and the corruption that was taking place, was his understanding of the Bible, which was encouraged and helped by his understanding of the original languages. When Ryan was on our podcast, we mentioned another Luther quote. I'm going to read the whole thing here because I just think it's some really beautiful language based off the Bible. Luther says, "Without languages, we cannot have received the gospel. Languages are the scabbard that contains the sword of the Spirit. They are the casket which contains the priceless jewels of antique thought. They are the vessel that holds the wine. And as the gospel says, they are the baskets in which the loaves and fishes are kept to feed the multitude." In other words, they're really valuable and really important. And the final quote I have is from John Newton, who is actually the author of the famous hymn, Amazing Grace. He said, "The original scriptures well deserve your pains and will richly repay them." Going further, he said, "You must not think that I have attained or ever aimed at a critical skill in any of these. In the Hebrew, I can read the historical books and Psalms with tolerable ease, but in the prophetical and difficult parts, I am frequently obliged to have recourse to lexicons, etc. However, I know so much as to be able, with such helps as are at hand, to judge for myself the meaning of any passage I have occasion to consult." And that last quote from Newton, I kind of relate to the most. Because I certainly feel that, and I'm sure Olivia and Caitlin would agree as well. Like we've got the tools, we've done the study to learn the basics of Greek, but there are many times where I sit down and I need to use a lexicon or a concordance or Greek to English dictionary to help me understand the passage. But even just understanding the system of Greek to be able to use these tools just helps me understand the word in just a completely different new way. And so I hope you're encouraged by these testimonies of these Christians. As Martin Luther says, one more time, "As dear as the gospel is to us all, let us as hard contend with this language." And so if you're a casual listener, considering whether or not you want to embark on this journey to start learning Greek or Hebrew, I just want to encourage you that it is so worth the struggle, and that leading figures in our church history have cited the original languages as one of the most important and influential causes in their ministry. How understanding the original scriptures helps them understand the Lord in a better, in a whole new way, and in a more beautiful way. So that's my encouragement to you guys, is do it. Let's study the word. Let's pursue Christ by pursuing the knowledge of the word, and let's pursue a deeper knowledge of the word by studying the languages. So thanks for listening to me today. Again, I know Olivia, Caitlin, and I are all super excited to talk about how God is love next week, looking at 1 John chapter 4. Thanks so much for listening. Grace and peace.
Thanks for taking a seat with us today. We hope you were encouraged as we discussed the glory of God revealed through His Word. If you'd like to join or participate in the conversation, follow us at Open Seat Podcast on Instagram or send questions to our email, openseatconvos@gmail.com. Until next time, grace and peace.